in most hymnals is just 35 notes long. You can play it or sing it in fewer than 30 seconds. There's nothing complicated or musically challenging about this very straightforward song written in three-quarter time. What is it then about this song, Amazing Grace? Why does the tune have such power to bring tears to a strong man's eyes? A few years ago, thousands of young people were at a big rock concert. Huge banks of amplifiers and speakers lined the stage. It was a zillion decibel powerhouse evening featuring a number of popular bands. Well, out in the audience, the kids were swaying to the music, feeling the hard driving rhythm. And of course, just like at most rock performances, there was marijuana smoke in the air. The tequila and beer were flowing freely. Promiscuity and sexual liberty were part of the hazy atmosphere. Then suddenly things grew quiet. Opera star Leontine Price walked to center stage and stood there, alone. No guitar, no backup band, no laser lights or special effects. And she began to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. And all through that huge, cavernous hall, it got very quiet. All those kids suddenly stood in their tracks and listened. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was a transforming moment. Why? What is it about this song? Now, earlier in this devotional, I told you about the film by Bill Moyers, Amazing Grace, the PBS documentary. Moyers and a camera crew traveled around the world looking at beautiful vignettes describing how this song means more than life itself to those who sing it. Country people living out in the hills, gathering together at a little white church every Sunday morning. An urban choir of black elementary school boys from New York City who circle the globe singing Amazing Grace with Broadway precision. Everyone involved in the documentary film testified that there was power in the song Amazing Grace. Something indefinable, something mysterious and wonderful about the notes, the tune, and especially the message. Grace, unmerited favor, God's gift of grace to this weary, sin-sick planet. I want to confess to you, I love that song. Ever since I was a little boy growing up in Canada, I've loved Amazing Grace. My four brothers and I have sung it together many times. It does have a sweetness and a power that moved me. But I want to say this. As sweet as the tune for Amazing Grace is, grace itself is even sweeter. And I want to challenge you right now. Don't let the beauty of the music overshadow the saving message of Amazing Grace. I think back to those kids at that rock concert. They just stood there in rock silence, sober silence, listening to the quiet melody of Amazing Grace. And I'm sure many of them had their hearts touched by the haunting beauty of those 35 notes. They probably turned to their girlfriends and said, wow, that was something. That really got to me. But then a moment later, the rock and roll started up again, and the sweetness of that one tune was lost. The song was sweet, but they missed the greater sweetness, the lasting power of grace itself. I don't want that to happen to me. It's possible to sing Amazing Grace in church. It's so beautiful. You feel so close to Jesus at that moment. You want to love him and serve him and have a relationship with him. And then you go out to the parking lot and see that someone has scratched your car, or somebody cuts you off as you pull out into the freeway. And all your sweet feelings from that beautiful tune are gone. You allowed the music to be sweeter than the grace. Friend, it's the grace itself that has the power to change your life forever. A haunting melody lasts only as long as the notes linger in the air and in your memory. But a knowledge of grace itself, Calvary, and of a Savior named Jesus Christ, that can last for always. It's grace that saves your life, not the tune Amazing Grace. There's no person beyond the reach of the power of grace. Maybe you've heard the story of John Newton, who made his living in probably the lowest way imaginable. He was the captain of a slave ship. I want you to think about that for a moment. Captain of a slave ship, transporting human beings, men and women and boys and girls, in the holds of your ship, kidnapping people and dragging them away, screaming from their families, packing them like cramped sardines in the damp bowels of your ship, alternating them head to toe in the oxygen-starved darkness, knowing full well that half of them will die before reaching the shores of North America. And then sitting in your comfortable captain's quarters with paper and a quill pen, callously calculating to yourself that even with that 50% mortality rate, even the half of your cargo being thrown overboard before you reach your destination, you can still turn a big profit. It was an evil and depraved way to make a living. But that was the world of John Newton. He made his money, his livelihood, bartering in human cargo. John Newton has sold his very soul, sinking as low as a man could go. He had chosen as despicable and cruel a path as a man can walk. And somehow, the miracle of grace reached down to John Newton. If ever a man were lost, it was he. If ever a man were blind to the anguish and misery around him, it was John Newton, blind to the saving power of Jesus Christ. Somehow, grace got through to John Newton. He encountered Jesus Christ. He came face to face with Calvary and with his own opportunity for salvation. It wasn't the tune of Amazing Grace that saved John Newton. It was the Amazing Grace itself. You see, and perhaps you already know, it was John Newton who picked up that same quill pen with which he figured his profits in human lives and wrote the gospel song we all know and love, Amazing Grace. John Newton, repentant slave ship captain, looked back at where he'd been and wrote, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And it was John who wrote the lines of another verse we haven't even mentioned. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Maybe it's hard to believe that something as sweet-sounding as grace would have the power to reach a John Newton. Listen, friend, for all its sweet tenderness, grace has an amazing raw power. Listen to how Paul describes it in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the gutsy power of God's amazing grace. Nothing can stop it or even slow it down. It reached clear down to where John Newton was. It reached down to where I was. Right now, it's reaching out to you, right where you are, right now.